Folks, we have an announcement. I've been in this industry since I was 1 day old, and we did episode 200 last week. We feel that episode 201 will pale in comparison to episode 200, so we decided to pull the plug. The market cannot sustain it. I just also want to say that it's not Panini's fault. We're just looking forward to episode 202. So everybody that watched episode 201 will be getting a refund.
What is going down, everyone? It's hype. As you've seen in the intro, episode 201. And apparently we're going to be mailing this one in. But we got some exciting topics to talk about today, guys. National Treasures Basketball 2021. Everybody's talking about it. It's been quite the controversial topic. We're going to tackle all of those topics regarding National Treasures today. We're going to talk about the PWCC news. Apparently they got kicked off eBay. We're going to discuss that, as well as the biggest sale of a card ever and some new release talk. Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 200. Hope you guys had fun. We're also going to name the winner of that show here later for the best cameo, which we all know the Jeff Ross, or some of you may call Bob Ross, was the best cameo we had. But there were some other good ones. Bob Saget, close silver on that one. But we have another giveaway for another Ginter Hobby Box today, so stay tuned for that. Guys, 200, how was it?
It was fun. It was a great time. We had a lot of stuff going on. I want to make sure that, did we tally the Jeff Ross, Bob Saget? Or are we just giving it to Doug's Bob Ross, Jeff Ross?
Oh, that one was the Bob Ross was a vote for both.
That had to be, well, was it a vote for both, or was it like a 0.5? I guess it doesn't
point
matter.
0.5. Yeah.
So was it Jeff Ross? Was it the winner?
Yeah, was it official
with how
tally?
Much?
We'll have to wait to the end of the episode.
We don't
to
know.
Nominate
I think
that.
You just went for it. You try to give yourself the victory, but I think Bob Saget's going to come
up. I think it was close.
Here.
Hey, if you don't pat yourself on the back, no one will. So, you know what I mean? You got to do that. You got to pat yourself on the back. C-Rad, how was episode 200 for you?
Oh, man, I lived it. I watched it multiple times, and it was a good time.
That I did not do. I did not watch it multiple times.
I was with you guys in the room for the premiere of it. You know, obviously we recorded it. It was all overall great experience, and I'm glad a lot of people enjoyed it too.
I'm just here to talk about NT.
So you don't get fined?
I'm just here. I don't want to get fined, so I'm just here to talk about NT.
You were actually in a different area. You guys probably can't tell on, you know, what's going on, because it looks the same to you guys out there. But we actually reconfigured the whole studio. New background to come. It's going to look a little bit more state-of-the-art rather than this old bookcase behind us that's probably has the same amount of dust for the last 200 episodes. Well, no, maybe about 60 episodes. So there'll be a new background in place very soon. So a lot of new things coming along
change.
With the hype. So
I hate change.
You do? You want to keep this thing forever?
I want to keep it. It's not that much dust.
Cody, what did you think about episode 200, man?
It was a test of patience for myself. It was a lot
to
of fun.
Say the least.
You know what? No, the fan reaction's been great. It was fun. Could not have asked for more fun for the 200th episode. By the way, this is probably the only way people realize something's different. If you notice, my background's
a
little bit.
Yeah, and it's
different.
Weird looking in your eyes. Can you turn the other way?
Yeah. There you go. You can just look at the back of my head if you want.
I'm so used to looking at you on the screen rather than looking straight onto you. So yeah, we reconfigured things for the better here, guys, and hopefully more content to come, more shows to come. We already seen C-Rad debuted with the 6.5 the preview show, so there'll be more of those to come as well as just random antics.
What are you gonna be breaking next, C-Rad?
Spectra. Yes, sir.
Never heard of it. I'm here to talk about NT.
And you know, I think we were nominated on the number one podcast. So if you Google the 60 best sports card podcast, number one.
Wait, we're not 11?
We're not, sorry, Mike Geo. We're not number 11. We don't have a Jesse, but we do have a Cody, a Conrad, a Doug, and a Dan. So
I'll be your Dan.
You know, no Jesse, but one day, you know, one day you guys will move up.
We weren't
there.
Always number
You'll
one.
You'll take us over, I'm sure.
We were number 11 at one point.
We don't have that. We don't have Ben Simmons money.
Slow climb.
Yeah, slow climb. It's been 10 years.
10 years. Been in the game for 10 years.
Yeah. We don't have that Ben Simmons money. So,
what's up with Ben
Simmons? I meant Bill Simmons, but I said Ben Simmons.
Oh, Ben Simmons. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, Ben Simmons makes a lot of money.
He does. And we don't have that kind of money either. We don't have Ben, Bill, Bob.
Yeah. Who has more money?
Isaiah?
Ben Simmons or Bill Simmons?
That's debatable.
I would say Ben Simmons.
Bill Simmons.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, probably. Really? Yeah.
Well, this is an awkward.
But shout out to Sports Card Nonsense Podcast. It's a great podcast, and we just caught some wind of somebody saying that, hey, these guys don't deserve to be number one. Maybe we don't, but hey, probably. We're here. We're number one for now. We're number one for the moment.
It's because all of our sponsors that we have.
We have so many sponsors.
We do. It takes so long to go over them.
Yeah. Yeah.
This segment's actually brought to you by MojoBreak.com.
Well, who's the sponsor? I was just going to say how great we are because the next slide is misspelled. So I was going to say, like, we're number one, but the next slide is misspelled. So. Just like number one, number 60.
I take full responsibility.
Actually, I think this was planted. This whole segment's been scripted.
It is, totally. It's like, I was just like, yeah, we're great. No, we're not. We're not so great. But hey, that adds to it. And we do have a swear jar, a misspelled jar that it adds up to more champagne eventually. So it'll make a great episode at some point.
Barely spelled wrong.
But who are you talking about as a sponsor?
Oh.
Monster?
Have you guys ever had any itch down there? Manscaped.
Dude, why
are Where are you getting some of that money? I ain't got any of that money. Let's take a quick poll. Who does manscaping here? Does he use their products?
I use one. I don't.
I've never used manscaping.
I think I got the lawnmower 3.0, I think.
I've never
No,
used
I mean
it.
that's a real thing.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah, it's a lawnmower.
But I will use it if Manscaped hits us up for a sponsorship.
Well, they already got
they've already got some other products.
They already got somebody's money.
Me on lockdown.
But, well, it's going to be a fiery episode. That's why 201 people might want some refunds. But we're going to talk about National Treasures. And I know what people are going to say in the comments, and we want you guys to comment, is you guys break the product, so you're not going to trash a product that you make money. I know it's already coming. But I've got some numbers because I've the forums, the blowout forums, the different Twitter, all this stuff. Just people trashing National Treasures 2021 basketball, saying it's not. It's not game worn. It's not player worn anymore. Blah, blah, blah.
I never thought I would actually hear somebody complain about a relics not being player worn.
I never thought
I would see the day. Thank you, everybody. It used to be, they don't even use these in a game. What's wrong with them? This is junk. And now we're complaining that they're not player worn.
Yeah.
Player worn at an event that is not a game. The photo shoots are amazing events. It's great for the players, great for the league, great for the manufacturer, and great for the hobbyist to get the cards, right?
Right.
But they're putting those jerseys on, taking them off. They're not game worn. Why are we complaining now that it's not even that?
Right.
There used to be the whole, like, I don't want a logo man because it's not a game-worn logo man.
It doesn't matter. The price doesn't matter. Look at the prices. It does not matter. And what people fail to mention, which Dan actually brought up, and I, makes sense, we have a pandemic going on. Think about it. So before the pandemic, before the pandy,
No audio on this podcast.
no more ads.
Audio,
damn it.
Audio-less podcast.
But before that, they would have these rookies. They would give them, let's just say, anywhere from 20 to 30 jerseys, and they were supposedly supposed to put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off. There's an infamous, Google it if you can, look up Mark Ingram at the rookie premiere. Mark Ingram put on all 100 of them at the same time. So he looked like, a big old dude. He was already a big dude. He looked even bigger. He looked like he was went in a sumo wrestler outfit at that point.
It's iconic image.
So it's really kind of a joke anyway. But think about it. If I got if LaMelo or Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman, they even do a photo shoot, which they probably didn't. Most of the cards are photoshopped, and it's during the pandemic. The season's supposed to start, and you're like, hey, can you take off a bunch of jerseys that this guy's going to hand to you? why risk getting something by putting on jerseys? So Panini probably didn't even want to propose that to them. So they bought authentic jerseys from the league and they cut them up and put them in cards and they never actually touched the player.
Well, they couldn't. There was the last 2 years for both football and basketball, there was no photo shoot.
Yeah.
You couldn't have the photo shoot in New York.
Right.
You couldn't have the NFL photo shoot in the rookie premiere in LA. So what did you expect the manufacturers to do? Not have relics? Then we would be like, no shields, no logo mans, no prime patches. Like, these products are garbage.
Right.
So you can't win either way. But and getting back to like the game, do you have any idea how much game worn jerseys are, right, how much they cost?
A lot. And a lot of players are doing player swaps now. So they might not even ever make it to anywhere but another player or themselves.
But even if you were to obtain them, I mean, they're like $3,000, $4,000, right, $5,000 for just your run-of-the-mill average players. And then you get into like the Tom Brady's and you're looking at like six figures.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So I actually think the moral of the story is, and we've been talking about it for a long time, game used relics, regardless if they're single color, prime, whatever, should hold a premium, but they don't.
They don't.
If you can take a game used Emmanuel Sanders prime patch and an Emmanuel Sanders just rookie premiere photo shoot, and I say Emmanuel Sanders because they had like, there was a lot of them out there,
right,
because Panini did obtain some Denver Broncos game used stuff. So the prices don't reflect how much more the jersey costs to be game used.
Correct.
So if I was Panini, I'd be like, why are we spending all this money to put game used stuff in there where the end user, the consumer, isn't paying a premium for it? They're not putting the premium that we're putting on it as a manufacturer.
Yeah, and full disclaimer, by the way, we don't have any NT left. So we have a few trickling in, but we sold most of our NT because the demand was through the roof. So everybody's like, they must have a lot of NT they need to sell. No, we had no problem selling it. So that's not the reason we're doing this. Which is, we've been here, we've seen this stuff for the last 10 years, and there's a lot of these new guys that are jumping in. They're just not educated. So we're here to educate you guys on what goes down. I guarantee you, if you put a game-worn single patch and a of the same player and then a prime patch that's player worn, the player worn patch will sell for more than the game used. Because the game used will be a single color and the prime patch will look nicer.
And the game used cost the manufacturer a lot more to put in there.
Right. I mean, honestly, this hobby has little to do about the game anymore. Think about it. The hobby literally has nothing to do much about the games anymore. Buster Posey should be the highest selling guy in baseball. He's not. He has the most accolades out of any active player. He's not even close. LaMelo Ball outsells Zion Williamson, who had a better year. So it's all about the hype. It's all about the collectability of the moment that that player is performing. Now, if you reach a LeBron status, you reach Mike Trout status, you reach this hobby royalty where there's very few, that's a different thing. But for the most part, the cards aren't as much involved in the performance of the players or the game-worn stuff that, you know, it used to be. It's about the collectability and if the card looks nice and if it's the most sought-after design. And National Treasures is the most sought-after design in the hobby. And it goes for football and it goes for basketball. The RPA is the pinnacle of collecting. And you could see it here with these recent sales of some RPAs. So a horizontal RPA of LaMelo, number to 25, just sold for $40,000. We have a Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, true RPA to 99, sold for $30,000. You have a LaMelo, number to 99, that sold for $51,000. Do you think those guys care that it was not player-worn? No.
Well,
they
I
spoke
mean,
with their wallets.
And if it was player-worn from a rookie photo shoot, that card would not sell for any more.
Right.
It would sell for the same. I mean, they had a rookie photo shoot for Zion. I think Zion was the last one, right?
Yep.
Zion's year.
Yep.
Those don't sell for any more than they would if they were just not even player worn.
Right. They wouldn't. It wouldn't matter. It's the look of the card.
But it is it's low hanging fruit. It's like, let me figure out what I can do to complain about a product that it may have priced me out. So this is how I deflect about it. I get angry and I'm like, I don't like.
Yeah, and I don't want to say you can't. You know, it's people that can't afford it, because there is some people that can't afford it. They don't want to open it. That's fine. You know, the great thing about the hobby is there's dozens of releases to go through. But why crap on somebody else? Why crap? If somebody that likes National Treasures and that's what their thing is, why crap on that? Because what if you're a Prism collector? Do you want the National Treasures collectors to go like, this is garbage. There's not even any patch autos in here. Oh, this is fake. And blah, 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 blah. Miles Bridges signed for LaMelo. Blah, 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 blah. Do you want that to happen on something that you like? So sometimes you just got to take a step back.
I also think that you brought up the Miles Bridges thing, and that pissed me off. That pissed me off because, one, it's all speculation, right? And I love hanging out and speculating about stuff and saying, you know, allegedly this happened. But people were taking it as absolute truth, running with it, and being like, I know for certain this is what happened. And if you know Miles Bridges and you're friends with him and he was like, hey, I did this, then you might have something to stand on. But nobody knows. It's not Miles Bridges' auto. It 100% is not Miles Bridges' auto. Period. So stop running with it.
Now, I know Cody and me looked at it, and I can see how people see that, because it is, you know, at the first glance, and I believe the Logo Man one that was floating around, along with the one, the Miles Bridges Gaudi that was next to it, I think they were doctored a little bit to make it look even more unique.
It was photoshopped.
It was photoshopped.
You actually came up and you'd shown it to me. And instantly I was like, not the same auto.
Right.
And
you did. That was your first reaction.
I'm like, not the same auto. And I'm like, this is, again, how we're going to deflect as a hobby. And we're going to basically hate on the fact, if National Treasures was $500 a box like it was 6-7 years ago, then it would not be an issue. It's the fact that I get it. The market has priced people out. I can't afford NT myself. But it's because the demand is so great. And you're going to go over the supply later. They don't make a ton of this stuff. There's definitely releases that they make where they make less than NT.
Right, right.
But this is definitely not like an Optic or a Prism or even a Select release where they make a lot more.
Right.
So,
and back to the Miles Bridges situation, Cody, what was your initial reaction when you did see that, those autos side by side?
I mean, it was like jarring to see it at first. You kind of understood where people were coming from, but I felt like we were able to debunk it within like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
I think
you saw people. There were people coming out saying, well, here's how he's signing his auto now. I even looked up on eBay Miles Bridges autos from the last year.
Right.
His auto is different than what it was in 2018. If anything, you're thinking, so are you telling me Miles Bridges signed LaMelo Ball cards in his 2018 auto? Because that would be even crazier.
Even weirder.
Yeah. Why would Miles Bridges sign a rookie's auto?
And that's the bigger thing.
Like,
that's what we're talking about on Monday.
Like, why would he, it doesn't even matter if they're friends. Why would he be like, hey, rookie, yeah, man, I'm going to do you a solid. I'll go ahead and sign all your cards for you because, you know, I'm a nice guy.
Like C-Rad, for example, if like people were like, all of a sudden want Greg's auto instead of yours, and then Greg was like, you know what, I'm doing a bunch of specs this morning, C-Rad, can you sign for me? You'd be like, hey, your tenure's down here. My tenure's up here, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just like, and it doesn't matter that maybe LaMelo has more hobby lore than Miles Bridges.
But
that dude's a rookie. He's still a rookie. They get like, I don't think there's rookie hazing as much anymore, but there definitely is like a pecking order of like, I've been on this team now, and Miles Bridges is a Luka year, right? So he's already been in the league 3 years now, where this is LaMelo's first year, who didn't even play a full season. Yes, he was electric. And in hobby lore, yes, LaMelo is way above Miles Bridges.
But in real life NBA locker room,
right,
he's still a rookie.
Yeah, and Miles Bridges has already paid some dues on the Hornets. So why would he be like, sure, buddy, I'll sign for you, and you're younger than me? You know what I mean?
And the story, the way it snowballed was like insane. So you have like, well, he was doing it because LaMelo broke his wrist. I'm like, how do you know that? And then I'm like, I get it. I'm like, he broke his wrist, but the first thing he's gonna do is like, I gotta get these autos. Like, even though they were all redemptions, and he waited until like way late in the release schedule to start signing
right.
them. I mean, it wasn't until, let's face it, the season was over, and he probably started signing now.
Right.
He probably started with NT, started with Spectra. He's probably going to do Flawless. If they're going to come out with Eminent, so they'll probably do that. And then the back redemptions, he'll start. I mean, he has a lot of them. He was in every product, so it's going to take a while to get him into the marketplace. But like Joe Burrow's autos, like his NT, they started shipping.
Yeah, so we just got one in.
So anytime like you're worried about a redemption, Panini is doing a good job about going out and getting these redemptions fulfilled. They do not want to put redemptions in their product.
Right,
they
exactly.
don't want to do it. It's not beneficial for them. If it was a perfect world, they would have. I mean, would you prefer them not to put LaMelo Ball in the product?
Yeah, then
they
the
could
product
do,
would be
they could do that. The product probably isn't going to stand very well, right?
Yeah, no one's even giving credit the fact that they got LaMelo in the most important product of the year. Like, it's just, it's Miles Bridges autos and it's player, it's not even player worn, blah, blah,
okay,
garbage.
Yeah, the player worn argument means nothing.
As we've seen in the numbers of the sales early on.
The speculation on it being Miles Bridges auto, shut up with that.
Yep.
Like, you're wrong. So come at me too. I'm sorry. Like,
come
at
me.
You're wrong.
Comment below.
You're wrong. Don't make stuff up if you don't know. And that's pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much all I got with this. The prices have reflected the market value on the case.
The strength of the product. And we got some numbers to go over here shortly, but I wanted to kind of relish in what C-Rad did. I don't even get them all on the screen here. Mm-hmm. So this is all over the course of the weekend. Somebody actually brought him a bottle of Silver Patron for one of them, so he's going to celebrate on his own right. But we probably should be drinking it now. But we've got some LaMelos here. Tell us about your weekend with National Treasures. And was there any negativity in the chat? Didn't seem like it.
No, it was pretty chill. For the most part, you know, it's been a pretty, I would say, great and successful week of NT for us because, you know, some years are better than others with our run of cases. Like last year, I brought it up, like, I don't think we even hit a true RPA of Zion at all out of any of our cases. We hit some one-on-ones of him. We hit some horizontals, but I don't even think we pulled a true RPA of Zion. So being able to pull a bunch of LaMelos for you know, the people that support us, it was great, dude. It was like, what you hope for?
Not one, not two, not three, but four so far. And then you've been throwing the fifth with the horizontal, right? So
yes, sir.
The ones that show on the screen, you see the first off the line, which who even knows? Probably 100K plus. I mean, we don't like to throw numbers, but for this episode, we're throwing numbers. The number to 10 gold one right there. And then the base. And you can see here, look at that. Look at the first off the line auto is different than the other two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know with my auto, I depending on when I'm signing it, it's changed a little bit. But you can see right there, the two on the middle and the right, depending on how you guys are looking at the screen, they look the same. The one on the left does not look the same. So, right there, you can kind of see that he might have changed his auto as he's signing these cards. But these players do sign an affidavit with Panini that this is them signing the card. So, that's all we can go by, whether or not it's Miles Bridges, who, by the way, if you don't know, is an exclusive to Upper Deck. Throws a whole other wrench in the situation.
Yeah.
That he would sign a Panini card for a rookie.
And I could guarantee you.
You guys got to think about that.
I could guarantee you if he ran it by his agent would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. No. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Like, that is not. He signed with Upper Deck knowing that he signed with Upper Deck. He probably did a little bit of research on cards and decided that this is going to be the best avenue for him.
Yeah.
So he understands the industry. So he isn't going to sign another manufacturer's cards.
No. I mean, there's also, I think, federal laws about forging somebody's signature.
Yeah.
I mean, there's even that involved, which
I'm
sure.
Everybody loves a great conspiracy. So you had it. You lived it. It was great. It's been debunked.
Well,
so.
And like one of our fairly prominent breaker that we know said, it's time to move on to Spectra, right? Well, not really. It's time to stay around NT because it has the best value. But if you missed the video on Instagram, it's been floating around. There was a fairly prominent breaker that opened up three cases, and then he decided that the product was garbage, and he had more cases listed on his website, Pick Your Team Style, and spots had sold. So he decided to refund all the remaining spots that had sold and not do any more because, in his opinion, the market was too high on this product and the product is garbage. Not only did he do this while wearing a top shirt, he then went on to promote Spectra first off the line and saying that that is going to be the better product to get into. All while, what he could have done, if he felt like the product was garbage, he could have took a less of a mark. I guarantee you he sold it at the market rate, which is about $15,250 at the time. I'm sure he sold it at that. So he is not a white knight for the hobby. I want to break down before...
And actively, he was trying to, or they were trying to buy more NT before it released at
market. But let's. So, I want to break this by the numbers to show you guys. And once again, we don't have... We have a few more NT coming in. We're going to be doing NT breaks, but we sold most of all of our NT. Right? No problem selling.
I mean, you can go on our schedule and you can look and see.
You can see what's going on. So by the numbers, what I did was I figured out how many base cards there were, and I to figure out how many boxes and cases there were. So these numbers, you know, this isn't Bond. I'm not a genius. No, I went to public school.
I think you're a genius.
But I think
you're breaking it down.
There's 4,175 hobby cases of National Treasures, and I put hobby twice. Once again, now I have to put money in the jar. 4,175 hobby cases made of National Treasures. There is an estimated, and I went through the checklist, and I didn't go through every single subset, but I went through the main RPAs. I took the top four guys, meaning LaMelo, Halliburton, Wiseman, and Edwards. I added all of their cards being over 10,000. So there is an estimated $1,100 to $1,300 cards in the product that are worth more than $10,000. So the loose odds are one in every 3.25 cases, you will hit a $10,000 plus card. Is there any other product on the market that will have those odds?
No.
So actually, you could even go as far and say you wouldn't have those odds in Flawless.
You won't. You probably won't.
So, and yeah, you could say, I mean, you even round it up anywhere from like 3 to 4 cases will yield you a $10,000 card or more.
Right, and I'm not even counting. I mean, like the LaMelo logo man, who knows, 500,000? The LeBron logo man, maybe 100,000? I mean, these are all numbers that I'm just pulling out my anus here, but like I'm just showing you, yeah, right there. There's a lot more bigger cards out there. Minimum $10,000 cards, there is 1,100 to 1,300 cards in the product. Because you got to figure the horizontal LaMelos, numbered 75 and 49, plus I think they might have 101 super primes of those. All the logo mans are worth more than 10,000, most of them.
Yep.
So there's 1,100 to 1,300 cards that are worth more than 10K. So I don't know where this guy gets his info from. He basically opened three cases, which based on the odds, you could have three really bad cases. You could have 10 really bad cases. It just happens that way. You could also have 10 really good cases like C-Rad did. But to make the snap decision that this product isn't for everyone and basically tell his customers how to spend their money is absolutely asinine. Strange. And some of these companies should look at this and decide who they sell their products to.
That was a strange situation.
Wow, that was aggressive, Doug.
I told you it's 201. We're a little fiery today.
I thought it was 202. I thought 201 didn't happen.
That's right. We got so angry we kicked C-Rat out of the studio and we switched positions.
No.
There's an empty seat if you want to sit here.
No, he went to go break more National Treasures.
That's true. We couldn't waste any time because the demand is there.
It schedules up. He had to go break some. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I agree with you. Like, the product is what it is. It is a high-risk product. Doing this for 10 years, we've seen the steady increase of how much it goes for. I love the days that our wholesale case was like $1,200.
Right.
Like that was beautiful. I mean, I loved it. But when that was going down, you were not seeing the cards go, like the individual cards sell for $10,000.
Right. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. It was a great product, but the highest... We would go through 20 cases of it, and we'd may pull like one $5,000 card.
Right, and that's what the whole point of here is that the content is supported by the market of the content. If it wasn't, prices would go down. You look on our dealer network where dealers sell product to dealers, and there's a 15, 20 people that want the product right now. So obviously their customers want it. So to make it is like I said, to make a decision that your customers do that this product is bad and you don't want your customers buying it, that's not for us as dealers, breakers, hobby shop owners to decide. And that's the only point I'm trying to make here.
But how are you a top tier breaker and not break the number one basketball product that comes out every year.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. Like, what was the real motive is what I want to know. What actually went down? Because honestly, if you've been doing this long enough, you will see runs where there's bad cases. Me and Doug opened up three cases on release
probably
day
worse
National
than
Treasures.
His.
Our three cases were really bad.
Yes.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They were bad. The best hit we got was a Luka auto to 49, I think,
yeah,
which is a good card. Probably a couple $1,000s. But we know that you can go on a cold streak with cases.
Yep.
Later on that night, later on that weekend, Conrad does three breaks. He hits three LaMelo RPAs in a row.
Right.
I mean,
crazy. It balances itself out.
It does. If you open up enough of it, it'll balance itself out.
And
so,
I'm not saying it's for everybody. Like he just said, it is really expensive. It is really expensive. But there is other products, like, you know, you want to chase Zion Hoops Premium, $200 to $300 box. There's stuff at that price point. So if NT's not for you, then don't do NT. But why do you got to crap on everybody? And if you're selling NT and you don't like it, why do you got to crap on everybody else? And that's the whole point here, is that I would never crap in your Wheaties if I didn't like something that you're selling. I would never go out there publicly and say, like, this product you should not do, blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, I take that back. Super break.
I was going to say, I'm like, break, I'm all, but, dude, I'm like, but you know, I give you credit. You bash on Super Break.
But that's not a real manufactured
but you,
product.
But you don't specifically attack and bash people that you know who break it.
Right.
You may question it. You may be like, why are you doing this? Like, maybe even to their face when you see them, you're like, really, you're still doing the Super Break, huh? But you're not going to be like, I can't believe you're selling that to your customers. You shouldn't do that.
Right.
They can do that if they want. If their customers are asking for it, let them break whatever their customers want.
Exactly. Speaking of breaking, we got some new products coming out this week. Topps Chrome Baseball. Staple. Now, I feel like there's some people, they say, well, what's up with the rookie class? I feel like we're on the cusp of some of these guys. I mean, some of them are already breaking out. Cody, who do you like for rookie cards in Topps Chrome?
I still really like Joe Adell, honestly.
He's coming on now.
He's really coming on. I think that we also have to take into account that I got to take the headphones off here. I'm getting like a weird echo. We got to take into account that, like, there were years where, and I know that, like, vaunted rookie class where it was like Vlad and Soto and like all that, like, I feel like going into the season, we were like, oh, Vlad Jr. hasn't done it yet. And now it's all back to normal. Everything's balanced out.
Right.
So you can't just look at one season and think, okay, it's over. It's done.
Last year, it was all about Vlad Jr.'s weight.
Yes.
That guy's out of shape.
Yeah.
That guy he'll never last. He'll never be a great ball player. I have not heard one person say anything about his weight this year.
Yeah.
Like,
been nothing.
Nothing.
Put on muscle.
But Joe Adell, Jonathan India has probably been the guy, I think, for Cincinnati. The team's coming on really strong. He's doing really well. Fantastic head of hair. I'm a fan of his. But
Al Baum, too. I mean, he's had some streaks and stuff.
He's had his ups and downs, for sure. But I think that the rule is be patient. Just be patient with these guys. It's not like the other sports where they come on so strong. But there are a couple guys here down the stretch, especially. And when September comes around, we're going to see probably a lot more of these guys as the rosters expand.
Yep.
Maybe you see Joey Bart get a few more at-bats with the Giants. Dylan Carlson's done really well down the stretch here. Had a full season of work. I know it's not like a super sexy pick because the Cardinals are been kind of in the middle of the road all season, but I think he's shown a lot of signs that he's going to be a very good player for many years to come.
Yeah, and I mean, there's even other guys like Jazz Chisholm that had a good early part of the season. Cabrian Hayes, who has a lot of potential as well, and a great draft pick for the Pirates, especially his Bowman days. Cards are going for crazy. So, but the other thing to remember about Topps Chrome is it's also about the colored vets. You've got Mike Trout. You can get a Mike Trout Superfractor. You can get a Fernando Tatis Superfractor. Buster Posey Superfractor. You can get the golds. You can get the oranges. They do have some super short printed vet autos like Ronald Acuna. So you're looking at a hobby box that contains two autos. You're looking at a jumbo box that contains five autos.
Five autos.
Five autos on the jumbo, which is, you know, unheard of. And you can get spots at mojobreak.com. We have hobby cases already listed. They're flying. I believe we're going to have some boxes on sale for pre-sale at mojobreakshop.com. So check that out as well. And keep checking back. We're going to be posting those jumbo cases soon, as well as randoms for Topps Chrome, which is, you know, it's a great value. Because even if you don't get an auto, you get a lot of, you get all the base. We're doing case breaks. We're shipping all the base. Great looking cards. It's that Series 1 design, chromed over, which I think is a fantastic design. I mean, we are the Series 1 Rip Party champions. So this is just playing along in that legacy, chrome. And then all things shiny on Friday, because we've got Spectra basketball releasing as well. We're already doing some of the first off the line, which truly was first off the line this time, Dan. It arrived first.
Tuesday.
It usually doesn't.
I was blown away.
So Young Greg, you got in on some breaks today, and C-Rad's got some coming up. And then we do have our PYT4 boxes of Spectra on Friday. We'll probably be posting some randoms. And I think C-Rad's going to do some kind of crazy Eminence Flawless Spectra.
There's a rumor out there.
Shuma Dooba Doo.
There's a rumor out there.
Yep, yep.
How much you think spots are going to be?
Man, going to be a lot.
Going to be dollars.
Yeah. Maybe somebody else can make another video about that.
Yeah.
About how the spots are so expensive.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the last topic. I think we're going to save that record.
But before you
got to put some in the jar now.
I know. But that was my phone ringing right in the podcast.
Should have answered it. Hello, you're on the air.
What's up? Chrome, Spectra. But don't, like, two of the products that I, for baseball, I always look forward to.
Wait, there's
more? I always look forward to Topps Chrome. But I always look forward to Immaculate Baseball.
Yeah, that's coming out.
Which
as well.
Is also coming out on Friday. If you like unique relics, like cleat relics, and just a bunch of, like, really, really cool stuff, Immaculate's where it's at. And yeah. you always get value in Immaculate. So I felt we had to bring up that product because.
Can't forget the other boy in the band.
It's the other guy
of the band.
It's a staple now. I mean, you think of Immaculate Baseball, you think of NT Baseball, two great products. So
yeah, and it's actually, you know, compared to some of the high end Topps products, it's fairly affordable at the price point that it's at for what you can possibly hit with the unique memorabilia, like Dan said. They do have the Mickey Mantle license as well, so you're going to get some of the relics and maybe some cut autos of Mickey Mantle. And since one of the unique things about Panini when it comes to baseball is they don't have to, they can cross prospects into all the products. You only see with Topps, you only see them in Bowman, and you won't see Adley Rutschman and Topps Chrome, but with like Panini, you can get all the prospects. I think they have Jason Dominguez at Immaculate. So yeah. they kind of cross and add more value to some of those lower level teams, which
yeah, you can
is
hit,
also good.
You can hit those vets, but you can also hit the prospects in the same product. Like, I mean, I don't know if I haven't looked at the checklist, but you could get like a Blaze Jordan. Blaze Jordan could be in that product where he wouldn't, if it was like definitive, he wouldn't be in it
yeah.
because they Topps leaves the prospects to the Bowman line.
Yep, and I think we have a winner picked out for our giveaway from last week, which I think was the big boy Prism Choice Box.
Yeah, for the YouTube.
Yeah.
By the way, Bob Saget was the most picked cameo. So Bob Saget was the winner. So what I decided to do is I picked a winner.
Jesse and the Rippers.
Old Danny Tanner, the winner. I know. My personal choice was probably Jeff Ross. That made me laugh the most.
Crush my dream.
Saget,
I hope people went to Bob Saget's podcast and downloaded
that's
it.
That's right.
And I think that's what actually put my cameo over the top was the fact that he used that platform as self-promotion.
Yeah.
Which was a genius move. So I think and Jeff Ross was great. Jeff Ross did his thing. He's the roast master.
Yeah.
And he did it. He did what he had to do.
He did what he
But I think yeah, I think the role. Uniqueness of Bob Saget doing the self promotion is what put
I just
it
think
the
people
top.
Weren't watching as much during my segment, but it's fine, you know.
Why
you know.
I went like last.
I was going to say that Dan was kind
well,
of at a disadvantage.
You should probably thank me because I promoted the whole show, the giveaways at the end. So you know what people did? They probably just went bloop.
bleep, all the way to the end.
No,
saw Bob Saget.
Nope. You look at the comments, and everybody was like, "I love the fact that he was self-promoting."
Because that's
the
only one they watched.
That's right.
That's not the only one. They would have got two LeVar Balls.
It's true.
That's right. And it's surprising. He got some votes. He got some love.
He did.
But the winner, so we picked from anyone who picked Bob Saget, and the winner, Jacob Z.
Congrats, Jacob.
Winner. Congrats.
Congrats. And so we're going to do another giveaway today.
Give away a Shure SM7B.
Yeah. We're actually going to give away, it's last year's Allen & Ginter. It's a hobby box of 2020 Allen & Ginter. And I'm going to put you on the spot. How did they win this, Dan?
Oh,
or Cody can take over.
Jeez.
Makes great radio. Totally unplanned.
Wow.
If you can't think of anything,
all right. Because we may have not. Okay, so who do you think is going to be Rookie of the Year this year?
There you go. I like it.
Rookie of the Year in both baseball.
In both leagues.
Give me
an American League Rookie of the Year and an NL Rookie of the Year.
See, that was right off the top. That was great. That was better than I came.
I kind of paused. I actually was like, we probably used this before, but whatever.
Well, I was actually going to come up with, and don't call. Well, you can if you want. But what product are you most looking forward to this week? But there's only four choices. This way, there's a lot more choices. We can see where people are going. So yeah, comment below in the comments who you think is going to be Rookie of the Year,
AL and NL,
AL and NL, and you got a chance of winning a Topps Allen & Ginter 2020. All right, so we got the last segments. We can mention that the T206 Wagner set a new record of $6.6 million. We're running out of time. We're running out of time.
The highest valued card in history, $6.6 million, Honus Wagner. On to the next one.
Yeah, it kind of shows you where we're at now with these record-breaking cards, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, we talked about it. $10 million. $10 million
it's
is happened. Going to happen.
It's absolutely
It's not happened. Even like, me and Cody were joking about it when we did our podcast. We're like, maybe, who knows? But
it's
like now it's a certainty. It's like not. When is it going to happen? And it's going to be sooner than later.
Yeah.
I think before the end of the year.
Yeah. I just think the most notable thing with the Wagner is all these record-breaking cards have been either BGS or PSA. This was an SGC rated card. I feel like that's kind of notable.
Was it sell through PWCC?
I don't think it was.
I don't think so.
No, I think it was a private sale. I think it was a private auction and a private sale.
Just a friends and family deal.
That's right.
$6.6 million.
Yeah. So
Venmo.
Yeah.
Venmo deal.
That's right.
Venmo deal straight across. No, they met somewhere with cash. Briefcase full of cash. So eBay. I think the news broke yesterday. eBay shuts down PWCC for the time being. Pulls other auctions, claiming that. I don't want to say allegedly because I haven't heard from the sources, but from what I've seen floating around, it was due to shill bidding, and I think there was even some reports that somebody said it might have been an employee of their company, which I think PWCC retorted and said there was no employee that bid on any of the PWCC auctions. So right now, it's getting a lot of press, and everybody loves to hate on PWCC. I don't necessarily hate on PWCC. I hate consigners, so I'm going to take that route on this argument because I don't think, and you've heard me, I think it was episode 150-ish or something, I don't think that there should be consigners in the hobby due to the fact that anybody's going to want to bid up their card. Let's just say you send them an Ohtani and you're like, you know what? I need 80 grand. Well, one day left, it's at 50 grand. I'm going to pepper in some bids. Or I'm going to call my buddy and say, hey, I got this Ohtani Atomic on PWCC. Go ahead and drop some bids. It just falsifies the marketplace. And any consigner probably should be looked at. Shilstein's probably next. And I think that's what's going to happen. To say these guys are bad people, I don't think they're bad people. I think that they do the best job that they can. But how in the world do you police people from trying to be greedy and bid on their own cards?
Yeah, I mean, they're from a user's standpoint on eBay, not the consigners, the users. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be accountability through not just shill bidding an auction that you sent to a consigner, but how about non-payers on auctions that may hold that same card and they just go through and bid up that card with no intention of paying, and then they set the market for their card that they can put up there now and sell for a higher price.
Right.
That's a scumbag move, right?
Right.
There's a lot of things going on with the users from eBay. Not saying everybody's bad. I'm just saying there's definitely some bad apples in the eBay community.
Yes.
And those are the, and how do you put it on a consignor if you're like, here's my auction, I have no accountability whatsoever, it's in my direct interest to basically up the bids on this. How do you put that on the consignor? And I get it, like it's their card at that point.
Right.
But it's almost like maybe they should, and I don't know if they do. Or they basically say they have you sign like an affidavit and basically say if we find out that you ever bid,
I have a PWCC account, and you know what? I have sold cards to them. I never have shill bid any of my cards. I've done two. We sent in some of our cards we've been holding on for a while. Ben Simmons. I got out of Ben Simmons as quickly as I could. I didn't want to have to deal with selling it, so I sent it to PWCC because I don't like probe.
Well, honestly, we used to sell a fair amount of individual cards on eBay, and I got tired of one. The question is this card going to Gem 10?
Right.
If I send this to PSA, am I going to be able to get a gem? I got tired of answering that question because I don't work for a grader.
Right.
I have no idea. It's a raw card. It could be an 8. It could be a 9. It could be a 10. But, like, at this point, I feel that if you buy the card, you're going to be like, well, send it in to get graded. Got a 9. You're either going to have to give me money back or I'm going to send it back in. I want to ask for a refund. Well, that card could have devalued at that
point. I know
point.
They've changed the return policy to 3 days now, though.
But that used to happen.
That used to happen.
That used to
it
be
was 45 days.
That
before,
used to
I
be
believe.
That. And then, I mean,
I think it might even have been
the
90
old
days.
Like, my kid got a hold of my eBay account and bid up that auction, and I have no intention of buying this card. Then you go on their eBay account and they got the same card up for the same price that it just sold for.
Right.
Buy it now or best
exactly.
offer.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I use PWCC out of convenience. I did not chill in the car. I actually felt like there was cards that did not go for anywhere near what they should have. But that was what I agreed to when I sent them the cards. I didn't want to do any work. They wound up sending me a check, cashed it. Everything, the transaction was great.
You actually ripped the check in half.
I ripped on accident. Yeah, I didn't know what it was, and I opened it up, and I ripped the check. I think I did sign something when signing up for an account. I believe I did click on something, but I don't know if that is, that's on their platform though. I was on PWCC.com, not eBay. So I don't know where that translates on both of that. But regardless, I feel like there's something that happened big for this to happen because they're probably a top 10 eBay account. Like, you know, maybe in the grand scheme of like with the automakers and stuff that are on there, maybe not close to the,
I would say,
the price.
I would say they probably are the top account in the trading card category.
Yeah. Yeah. Them and or Probstein.
But you brought up Probstein again. Like, if PWCC is getting in trouble, then Probstein has to be next, right?
You would think so, but what is there an astounding amount? This is what I thought of first. Is there an astounding amount of auctions that just weren't paid for? Because that's the only reason eBay would step in. I don't feel like eBay would step in if things were getting shilled and then they were getting paid for, right? Because eBay's not even going to be, well, they got paid, so what's the problem? They're not even going to search unless maybe somebody really had some concrete evidence. I feel like there was auctions that were fluffed, that sold, and that weren't paid, and there was a large amount of those. That's my point of view. I don't know. I don't know if that's fact or what. But they were in partnership with eBay. They were partners. They were working on their platform together. So something drastically must have happened for this to
what about if
e- come
what
down.
About if eBay can go back and see, say, a specific numbered card, right? A numbered, serial numbered card was sold or, like, was listed on eBay, say, for a higher starting bid, never got a bid, or was on eBay for a long time with a high buy it now or best offer and never got paid for it, never was sold, right? And then it was sent to PWCC, and then all of a sudden it actually goes over the amount that it didn't sell for originally when it was listed, and they basically connect the two dots together. They're like,
"That's a good
this
point.
Card has been on eBay multiple times with no action. It goes to PWCC, and it sells for 30, 40, 50% more than what it wouldn't sell, that it couldn't
right.
sell for before.
That's a good point.
So
I
maybe
think about
maybe
that.
They're starting to connect dots and be like, wait a second, like Why would that happen?
But that doesn't fall on PWCC because I know as a signing up account, they did not make me put my eBay in there. So for all intents and purposes, you could send in cards and then just go under your one eBay account and start bidding on them. And they would never
honestly,
know
that,
until
that,
they sent it out.
And that's a scummy thing to do, but that is probably something that happens on a pretty regular basis. And people will play the, well, I didn't know I couldn't do that card. Which is,
well, everybody,
which is my favorite thing. The whole, like, I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Anybody that's been in this hobby for any amount of time, oh, I mean, we deal with it. Everybody thinks their card's worth 10 times the amount that it sells for. And then I remember when we did a few consignments. We did consignments like 4 or 5 years ago. It was Dan's nightmare. There would be like a day left and somebody would be like, well, why is it only at $100 bid? Isn't this a $500 card? So people panic because sometimes people don't know how eBay works, where most of the action is in the last 10 minutes. So, you know, basically a day left and it's not anywhere near what they thought. They're panicking. So, but with PWCC, they probably can't get a hold of anybody. So they're like, I don't want this thing to sell. You know what? I'd rather keep it if it's going to sell for that much.
I'm going to be honest. When we were doing the consignment, and one of the reasons why we stopped doing it, I found people who, because I would take everybody's information. I would take their PayPal, I would take their name, and I would obviously have their address, and I would have all their information, right? I had people win cards, and it was their card. And I would basically send them an email and say, why'd you do this? And I would get the same response. Well, I think that card should have sold for more. Can you relist it? And I'm all, no, and you're done. And I, at that point, I'm like, I don't even want you as a customer of Mojo Break at that point, because now I got to question everything.
All your ethics.
So, but yeah, that was one of the reasons why I was like, this is not worth the headache. And I would see bids where I would know, like, say their email address or their name was so similar to their eBay name.
You'd see the
bids. I would basically cancel their bid and be like, you were bidding on your own card. I'm all, your card, I'm pulling it down. And now I'm going to send it to you.
Right.
I'm all, and you're done. You can never consign with this again and take your business elsewhere.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, and we were doing it on such a small scale, and we were doing it on cards that were not high value cards. So if it was happening to us and we were doing maybe
$500 cards,
usually like $100 cards, and we were doing it and maybe 30 cards a week, and it was happening, PWCC is dealing with cards that are tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
And they're dealing with, you know, 20,000 listings at any given day.
Right. Right.
So if it was happening with us with 30 listings a week, you better believe it's happening with PWCC and Probstein and every other consigner who basically is selling
on
eBay.
That's what I'm saying. We got to get rid of all of them.
If we want to do this the correct way, one, as a consumer, you don't buy from a consigner. If you don't buy from them, they'll stop. At some point, they'll just stop listing, right? Other than that, get rid of eBay. Just go, no more consignment, period.
Right. Exactly.
If you're in... I don't know why eBay would want to do. eBay is in the business of making money.
And how do
you
do that? You'd have to limit people's like.
Everybody. You would basically have to limit how many listings you can put up.
Right, which might not work if somebody all of a sudden buys a collection. They want to list them all.
Yeah, but you would have. So, I mean, if you basically capped, like at 100 listings a week, a big consigner wouldn't be able to sustain the volume.
Right. Well, that's pretty much all we got for the show. Cody, we're doing some, we got some NFL special stuff coming out. So tell everybody about, because the NFL is almost here, guys. So we're going to be talking about NFL trading cards. We're going to talk about the teams. We're going to talk about how great the Niners are, how bad the Rams are. So that's going to be coming up. So let's get a little preview of that.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a special series. If you watched our series about the top 10 baseball players in the hobby, we're going to be doing something similar in the next couple of weeks where we're going to be talking about specifically the 10 quarterbacks that are going to be defining the trading card world in 2021. Obviously, the big names you're thinking of, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and the guys who have been the tried and true, the Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and we are going to give you the Mojo Break definitive top 10 quarterbacks to collect in the hobby in 2021. So keep an eye out for that coming very, very soon on Mojo Break Media.
Yep. And that's it for the show, guys. Follow us at Mojo Break M on Twitter. Go to mojobreak.com to get in any of our NT or Spectra breaks. We do them both. We're not, you know, we don't pick one over the other. And go to mojobreakshop.com if you want to buy any of our sealed wax. We do pre-sales. And we're very, very competitive on our wax prices there. So you'll find it, you know, possibly the lowest price on the interweb on some of the stuff that we have an abundance of. Go to mojobreakshop.com and you can get a good deal. So for now, we'll see you on episode 202. Peace.